Hey, it's Alana.
And Jacqueline.
And you're back for another episode of Black and Yellow. You know, Jack, one of my biggest pet peeves in life is when I hear about controversy and that controversy totally overshadows the good news of what has gone on in the world. And I feel like where I'm going with this.
I know where you're going with this.
Because a very famous, beloved 45-year or 45-season show just had a serious cast shakeup. And while the new cast members should have been celebrated, one in particular, unfortunately, his success was completely overshadowed by white comedian foolishness. And so
racism, to be exact.
And within further digging, misogyny and homophobia and like just a whole bunch
all
of like
kinds of things.
Ugh, white male comedian bullshit, and run amok.
And you call that comedy?
Right. Totally.
Okay, sorry. Yeah,
I got you, girl.
We'll get into it.
Yeah. There's a support group for you. I am here for you. This episode, we are talking about a very, very important comedian and casting on Saturday Night Live, because woo-hoo! I feel like this person needs to be celebrated after all this bullshit he has been overshadowed by. So, Jack, who are we talking about?
We're talking about Bowen Yang. Bowen Yang. It's the Yang Gang again, all over.
Yeah. Yang Gang.
He is the first Asian American, all Asian, hopefully, 100% Asian, Asian American, because this is a key point in the history of SNL, to be a cast member. So, it's never too late, but it has been quite some time that SNL has been on air, and to have a Chinese American who's also gay on the show, there's so much to celebrate in this. The gay community is celebrated. All Asians are celebrated. All Asian males are celebrated. When does that ever happen? Asian Americans are celebrating. Immigrant parents are celebrating. Kids who are growing up and watching SNL that want to be comedians are being celebrated. Like, there is, because he grew up watching SNL as well, there is just so much to be celebrated. And amidst all the controversy, regardless, we wanted to talk about this. As soon as I heard the news, I was like, oh, I have to talk about it. It's so exciting.
Can I just cut in? I hate to say this, because before I heard about this, I heard about the controversies surrounding this person. And I also didn't get to hear about the third cast member that was cast and that should be celebrated.
Chloe Fineman.
Because she's a chick. So hello, yes, go female comedians and sketch writers. Chloe Fineman.
Seriously.
Okay, sorry. I just wanted to like give that out to my women out there. And I'm giving it back to you. Yes, Bowen Yang. Get it, boy.
Yeah, so just a couple things about him. Obviously, you don't know, because I'm sure a lot of people don't know about him, and now people do. So first of all, he was actually a staff writer on SNL. He became a writer in 2018. I don't know if some of you guys saw the Sandra Oh sketch, but he did write when Sandra Oh hosted. But one of his sketches made it onto her episode. It's the Chex episode.
I remember. Yes, it was the Kremlin meeting, I think is what it was called.
Yeah, and it was a real no. He was also Kim Jong-un. Yes.
That's the one I remember.
That one was big, and then he also did the Chex episode. So, I mean, way to celebrate, you know, the Asian power amongst other Asians, like Sandra Oh being on the show.
I remember seeing that clip and that sketch, and I was like, where did this random Asian man come from?
I know, me too. Did you just, like, find him off the street?
Yeah, like, where have they been hiding this random Asian performer at SNL? Like, where has he been?
Yeah, tell me about it. It must have been really fun for him to be to be out in front of the camera finally.
I have a feeling he's going to be playing Kim Jong-un a lot, but that is beside the point.
Yeah, I'm sure he will as well. So his parents are immigrants, which is great, immigrant power. He holds a degree. He went to NYU when he actually earned his bachelor's degree in chemistry.
Wow.
Which is, yeah, pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. Not an easy subject to tackle.
Oh, no. I cried through my senior year high school final for chemistry. Yeah. Just cried.
It's not a fun one, that's for sure. yeah. So he grew up watching SNL. And there's this whole bit at yourtango.com where they quote him and he said, quote, "I was the kid who at 12 years old went to NBC studio tours and I would just answer all these trivia questions on the tour that the pages would ask about SNL. I was that kid. The show was just this incredible fixture in my life that I had to know everything about," Yang said. And so it's just so wonderful to see that he, end quote, just wonderful to see that he had this dream and this show that really affected him and nurtured his comedian side, and that he was able to get on there and now be a cast member.
Yeah, I do think of SNL as the comedy show that has spanned, I mean, God, it's in its 45th season, so it's spanned at least 40 years. And when you think about the amount of comedy and talent that has come through those doors, that has played on that stage, some have become huge celebrities and some haven't. It is crazy to think that none of those people have been Asian Americans. And in the process,
I know, right?
And in the process of getting ready for this episode, I was like, wait, why haven't there been any Asian Americans killing it on SNL? Because there were plenty on Mad TV. Duh, Miss Swan, Bobby Lee. Like, mm-hmm. We know that Asians are funny. Straight up. Mm-hmm. But why they never made it to SNL, I could never quite figure out. Like, because we've already seen it. We've already seen the Asian comedy formula be successful. You know what I mean?
Right.
So why didn't we recreate that? I don't know. Just.
Yeah. That's a Michael Lorne question. Excuse me, Michael Lorne.
You mean Lorne Michaels?
That's what I meant. Yeah. Jesus, I always say his name backwards.
Two first names. It's kind of tough.
Yes. Yeah. I'm the same way. I haven't watched 45 seasons of SNL, but I have enough seasons. And I just think, maybe in part to do with lack of Asian writers. Maybe, possibly. But I also think in just lack of representation in general, because I think they're not making sketches about anything Asian, you know? And if you're not making sketches of anything Asians, or maybe they are and they're just not coming through, I obviously don't know. But I'm sure the need was there and just never acknowledged. I don't know if it's a direct correlation between comedians. But, you know, there's a lot of Asian comedians. So, yeah, that's an interesting one that I would love to get. I would love to get an actual statement or an expression, or, you know, that question answered, because I'm sure I'm not the only one who has it. I mean, you also have it. So.
Yeah, I was trying to dig and see how many Asian American writers, or straight up just Asian writers, there are at SNL, and I couldn't find that exact number. My thinking is, if there's only one, and that goes for only one minority, be it Asian American, African American, Hispanic American, Indian American, what have you, when there's only one of you, I'm assuming that the fight is just to get your perspective on that show, whatever that show would be. In this case, it's SNL. Versus if you had a couple of Asian American writers, a couple of African American writers, you probably have you stand better odds and better chances of getting your perspective on TV, because there's more of you. So there's probably more sketches being pitched and there's more material to choose from. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm assuming SNL has been hearing cries for diversity for years. I mean, as far back as 2013, this is not, them needing to diversify is nothing new. But I wonder if, I hope that they give Bowen all the chances and all the opportunities to succeed and to fail, because it's a lot of pressure to be just one.
Right. I completely agree. I was reading about that. I think it's, again, yeah, it is that opportunity to really have things stand out and have things flop, just like as if you were any other race. Just like if it was any other skit. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I love you, Jackie. And I'm going to read between that subtext. Give him the opportunity to fail as though he were white and deeply mediocre. No, because that's what that is. White people are given the opportunity to fail way more than people of color. And I...
Right.
Yes, I hope that... I believe that he will succeed in all skits, but the reality is it's SNL and it's improv and it's sketch, and some things work and some things don't. And if something doesn't work, it's not because he's an Asian American gay male. It's because the sketch just, you know what I mean? Like, it's just because the sketch didn't work.
Right, exactly. I think and I hope that that is, you know, the message that they'll be working on. And I mean, he's probably... He is a very extremely smart, cultured, funny guy. And if you haven't, go watch his stand-ups. And he's gay, so on top of that, you know he's going to be funny. I'm not saying all gay people are funny, but most of the gay people, I feel like, just are just... They just have this other perspective about life you can't even have if you're not gay. And so,
yeah, I think anytime you're othered, your perspective on life is going to be a little bit funnier than the people who are not othered. I see you in that.
Right, and you have ownership and can say things that other people possibly can't or get away with, you know? So,
yep, this is true.
So I think that would make it very, really, really interesting. If you haven't seen, if you haven't, like, stalked him on Instagram, I suggest you do. Because he shows all his colors and he's super diverse in that sense. Super funny, is really, really able to just act and be a different person. So I have great hopes for him. I'm really excited. Side note, he also has a podcast. So, hey. His podcast is called Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers. They discuss gay topics and pop culture and kind of the primary way he sort of gained his following. He is known a lot on his Instagram for sort of... lip syncing to videos from
that's right
from TV shows and movies, and they are pretty darn funny. I can guarantee you that.
He was also on Two Dope Queens. He did an amazing stand up on Two Dope Queens.
Yeah, I loved it.
For any Two Dope Queens fans out there.
Yeah, he was pretty darn funny. I was cracking up the entire time. So yeah, that's us telling you a little bit of your background, a little bit about the issues that we're facing here in this world currently, and I just want to say that it's a huge step forward, and with that huge step forward, of course, once the smoke has been cleared, which it has after that one comedian decided to sort of apologize and not be on the show anymore. I think it's a huge step forward, like I said before, but I also think with that step forward, the problems that are still there are still obviously very visible. And almost, I think, always they have always been there, but almost sort of resurfaced, you know, with, of course, the news of a first Chinese American cast member to join Saturday Night Live. Yeah,
Jack and I promised each other that we wouldn't bring up the controversy because that's all over the news. And because it's all over the news, all of Bowen's great work has been overshadowed. And I think he should be celebrated in this moment in time. So instead of talking about the depressing news of a fellow knucklehead, now fired castmate, we're going to talk about SNL's long-standing diversity issue. So... Mm-hmm. Full disclosure, when I was a kid growing up, I'm 32 years old, SNL always seemed hella black to me. Like, I never realized that SNL had a diversity issue the way that it did, because growing up, I always equated SNL to Eddie Murphy, Maya Rudolph, you've got Damon Wayans.
Well, you had... on that end, you had representation, right?
Right. Chris Rock. Like, we had notable black, now celebrities, then working comedians, either sketch comedians, writers, or stand-up comedians, sort of working their way through the pipeline. I always assume that, like, SNL was just as black as it was white. Now, obviously, in 2013, all of that changed when there was a public outcry to make SNL a lot more diverse. And so in prep for this episode, I was like, huh, wait, hold on. What happened to the diversity that I always assumed?
You grew up watching.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what happened to that? So, guys, we're going to take a little trip back in time. So, so since SNL premiered in 1975, there have only been exactly zero full Asian cast members and only four Asian hosts. Six if you count the Pakistani-born Kumail Nanjiani and Indian-American Aziz Ansari. So when the actress Awkwafina hosted last spring, she used her monologue to pay tribute to Lucy Liu. You know, Charlie's Angels Lucy Liu, Elementary Lucy Liu, who up until that point had been the only other Asian woman to host the show. And that was a full 18 years prior to Awkwafina hosting.
That's insane.
Which was last fall. That's right. Nuts enough. Sandra,
right, like, why hasn't Ali Wong hosted? Like,
that's
that blows
a
my
really
mind.
Great question. No, that's a really great question. I don't understand. I don't get it. Jackie Chan is also mentioned in here, but like,
yeah. So like, let's talk about him real quick. There's Ali Wong. There's Constance Wu. Mm-hmm. There's what's his face? Always Be My Maybe with
John Cho.
With Ali Wong. No. Don Cho on top of that.
Oh, sorry. Oh my gosh,
his name is just slipping. Fresh off the boat, the dad.
Let's look. Because I was actually thinking if we're going in terms of like Pakistani and Indian American, Cal Penn from Harold and Kumar, like he's another option and person that could have definitely hosted that show. I don't know if it's, I've often felt like part of the diversity.
Randall Park. I'm sorry. There it is.
No, you're good. Randall Park. Awesome. Yeah. I often wonder when you're sitting up in those higher up Lorne Michaels-esque positions, Sandra Oh, Awkwafina, Lucy Liu, those are Asian American actors that have broken through into white America. Do you know what I mean? In a way that the actor you just named, what's his name? Randall Park. In a way that some might argue, like, Randall Park might not have, hasn't broken through quite the way that a Lucy Liu has. However, Constance Wu definitely has broken through success into white America.
Right.
When Sandra Oh hosted an episode last March, Jackie Chan hosted way back in season 25. But like, you mean to tell me there's been no other Asian American actors or Asian actors that could do the job? Or not even actors. What about model entertainer types? If we're just sort of broadening the pool, I don't know. It just, for me, that's a hard, it's hard to believe that there's no other Asian or Asian American performers that are able to host that show.
Right. And I mean, I'm specifically talking about like, if we are talking about even comedians, you know, who would be a great fit because they are comedians and they're actors and they have grown up here. And I mean, like, Randall Park has been in the comedy industry for over, like, you know, he's been an actor for at least 20 years. So it's just, it still blows my mind. That was one of the biggest things I had growing up was like, well, you know, maybe we don't really matter because
I bet Bowen Yang has probably felt the same. Yeah. Probably felt the same way.
Yeah. And so we're starting to matter, according to media, with everything, you know, with Asian visibility really kind of skyrocketing. But still, it's been a problem and it still is a problem.
Yeah, we would also be remiss to not mention former SNL players like Rob Schneider and Fred Armisen, who are part Asian. However, in them being part Asian, they are more white passing actors. And so their Asianness wasn't ever really addressed as a, you know, like a sketch point.
Yeah, I mean, I was just talking about this with my brother and my sister-in-law. We were talking about, oh, yeah, because well, we were, you know, we're all excited. We're talking about Bo and Wang. And then we were like, oh, yeah, but isn't Rob Schneider and Fred Armisen, aren't they, you know, part Asian? And we were all like, yeah, they are. But that was never something that was celebrated. That was never something that was, you know, ooh, I'm gonna watch this week, Saturday Night Live, the Saturday, and I'm excited to see a sketch based on something Asian, you know? And I remember having thoughts like that. I remember having thoughts like, I mean, Fred Armisen and Rob Schneider are freaking hilarious. And, you know, they weren't very Asian on the show at all.
Yeah, I always knew that Rob Schneider was part Asian. I think I had heard that Fred Armisen was part Asian, but I know that Fred Armisen used to be a member of the Blue Man Group more solidly than I knew that he was part Asian. And so I also wonder, is part of that also by design? When actors are going out and figuring out what works for them type-wise, is that one of those things that gets filtered out? Do you know what I mean?
Like, right. Right. And I think, too, if they are only part Asian, is that something that maybe down the, like, along the lines hasn't become as celebrated as much? So maybe they never, or as interesting. So, again, maybe their audition tape or maybe their sketches or their stand-ups, maybe there was never a part that was very Asian, you know, because that was never something that maybe could have been interesting back then. Who knows? I'm just thinking, like, as a comedian standpoint, If I can say something and develop and write something and develop something that's going to be way more interesting to SNL or to my live audience, and something like that may not be necessarily Asian.
See
what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. So then, definitely. I think that's part of the greater diversity issue in terms of casting. I think you hit the nail on the head. But we can circle back. Let's circle back to this because I think that we're on a very hot track. But exactly. But I just want to talk about how it feels like SNL went from feeling black as fuck to not very black at all. So there was a great, great article on Slate.com. It's called SNL, Will Sasheer Zamata Help Solve the Show's Race Problem? And it's by Tanner Colby, and it was from 2014. So quick recap. 2013, 2014, people were calling for SNL to have more people of color. And Sasheer Zamata was brought in for exactly one season, season 42. African-American female comic. Very, very funny. I would say more or less plucked from relative obscurity. She graduated from the blindingly white and very selective University of Virginia. And hey, guess what? Since we're talking about SNL, who else graduated from the University of Virginia? None other than Tina Fey. And we all know how she got her start. She was also a member of the Upright Citizen Brigade's improv troupe. She's very talented, but she was only on for one season, and it was largely speculated that she never really found her footing and really never found her niche on SNL, and so she made a very quiet exit. Quiet as in there was no, you know, I've had a great time on SNL, this will be my only season. I think she was just on for season 42 and just was not on for the season 43 premiere kind of a thing. However, in this article, Tanner Colby definitely sums up the history of black people on SNL. So this is what he says. The entire roster of black performers from the show's 39-year history, mind you, this article was written in 2014, hence it's only 39 years of history up until that point, can be quickly broken down into three simple groups. Group A, the disgruntleds, the washouts, and the walk-offs. Group B, the ones who stuck around. And group C, Eddie Murphy. Exactly. Eddie Murphy, I mean,
love it.
Eddie Murphy was kind of the anomaly, and I feel like a lot of classic SNL sketches featured him, but he was only on the show for a couple of seasons, and he's definitely a little disgruntled, refusing to participate in the 2000's 25th anniversary special and generally excusing himself from any kind of SNL-related remembrance, like Tom Shales and Jim Miller's oral history of the show live from New York. But he is also the most successful black performer from the show, and in fact, he's the most successful movie star to come out of SNL, period. Joining the cast at the nadir of the non-Lorne Michaels era, Murphy was bigger than the show even when he was on it, and he was never really off the show. His fame transcended it. He had a foot out the door the day he arrived, and he never looked back. The disgruntled and the washouts are the largest group. Black performers who joined the show never found their niche and typically left in very short or not on great terms. Most of these players, Yvonne Hudson, Denitra Vance, Dean Edwards, Jerry Minor, Finesse Mitchell, barely even lasted long enough to make an impression before fading from cultural memory. White cultural memory, at any rate. Two of these performers, Damon Wayans and Chris Rock, went on to great fame elsewhere after chafing at the racial confines of the show's characters and subject matter. Wayans was famously fired after ad-libbing in sketches against the expressed wishes of Lorne Michaels. And Rock left after two seasons as a main cast member, never having hit his stride that he would later then find up as a stand-up comedian. Ellen Cleghorn was the only black actress to last more than one season before Maya Rudolph, and she had a rocky tenure. She had a really rocky go of it. Hailing from the black housing projects of Red Hook, Brooklyn, Cleghorn endured the show at the height of not just its whiteness, but of its frattiness, going up against the sophomoric boys club of David Spade, Adam Sandler, Rob Schneider, et al. After four seasons on the show, Cleghorn notched just one entry in the entire index of Live from New York, a reference from Molly Shannon noting simply the fact that Cleghorn was in fact part of the cast. Ouch. I think it's also worth mentioning that SNL had a great whiteout between the years of 1987 and 1989, where there were no people of color. Side note. Oof. I know. Then you have the much shorter list of those who stuck around. The success stories. Black performers who clicked with their castmates and are happy to have been there. People like Garrett Morris, Tim Meadows, Tracy Morgan, Maya Rudolph, and Kenan Thompson. And Jay Farrow.
Yeah, they got lucky.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, Morris, who was part of the original 1975 cast, he was the very first black performer on the show, and he could be forgiven for joining the disgruntled because he never really hit that level of stardom that a lot of other people on the show did. And he endured all kinds of stereotyping and tokenism, as well as the criticism of being called an Uncle Tom. But something to note, he did stay longer than Chevy Chase, Jim Belushi, and Dan Aykroyd.
Wow.
Yeah, like, holy shit, exactly.
I'm surprised.
Right. Like, isn't that kind of, like, that's why I grew up thinking that SNL didn't have a diversity issue, because there was always someone black on that show.
Yeah.
And I wasn't, but, I mean, I was born in 1987, and I wasn't watching it in 1989, but, like, from there on, I feel like there was tons of black folks on it.
Right. I guess we don't obviously see the ins and outs. We don't see the politics, you know. And from what I've heard SNL is a very, it's pretty rigorous, you know, in terms of scheduling, in terms of timing, in terms of what sketches go through, in terms of who gets picked. And it's very competitive. It moves very fast. And so I think on top of that, combine that with race and gender and, you know, seniority and all that stuff, it can be a very tense environment, I would say.
Or SNL is looking for a specific kind of humor, because Colby shrewdly points out that when it comes to the actors of color that have remained, people like Tim Meadows, Tracy Morgan, Maya Rudolph, Kenan Thompson, the secret to their success may come from the fact that they come from fully integrated majority white backgrounds. Let us not forget, Kenan Thompson was a child star all up and down the lily white halls of Nickelodeon.
I love that show.
Yeah, exactly. Maya Rudolph, she's Minnie Riperton's daughter. The really high-pitched singer from, I think it was the 60s and 70s.
Yeah. She's got it in the blood.
Yeah, she was born into a showbiz family. She graduated from a Tony High School near Hollywood and is friends with Gwyneth Paltrow, talking about, like, hobnobbing with famous white folks. Meadows came up through the very white stages of Chicago's Second City, where he was extremely close with the castmate Chris Farley, so close that Meadows named his son after his late friend.
Wow.
So essentially what this article is saying is the black actors that have stuck around have a foothold in what black people think is funny, but also what white people think is funny. And I think it's the latter that keeps black actors on that show. Now, I think the only
that's an interesting analysis.
Yeah, I think the only exception is Tracy Morgan. Because Tracy Morgan is from the projects of Brooklyn, and he did seem to have a rocky start to SNL.
Yeah.
But it seems like him and Tina Fey sort of gelled and realized that they had some commonality, and maybe he was able to
find a way through.
Yeah, and almost like meld to her humor, which is very smart and very quick and very witty. But also, we're talking about white folks and SNL. She understands how to write comedy for white people. And I think that Tracy Morgan probably understood, oh, fuck, this is how I deliver comedy for white people and how they think I'm funny. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I hope that, I'm sure that Yang is pretty aware of how, of what works and what doesn't in the writer's room and probably up on that stage. But I think the biggest problem when it comes to diversity or the way that we see diversity is that what are we actually looking for when we say we need more diverse actors on camera?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, I think it starts, I'm just going to jump in here.
Yeah, go for it.
This has been a topic. We've been talking about this freaking all year long, so let's just keep talking about it.
Why not?
It really starts with, I think has been around, it's part of the issue, but I'm going to get into another part of the issue. I think it is, and I'm only going to speak for mostly Asians and Asian Americans, because this is how I see the problem on my end, is that we need a lot more Asian actors, in the sense of Asian actors telling Asian stories, writing Asian stories, in the sense of, like, telling your story, not necessarily, like, has to be Asian. It could be universal, but you're writing it, right? You're not letting someone adapt it or someone taking over, or just, like, making sure you stand your ground and having ownership for what you wrote for. Mm-hmm. I think, in part from that, we need to be given the opportunity, we need to be given the time, we need to be given the money to be able to make these shows, which is getting a lot better now with, like, the possibilities of, you know, a lot of platforms, YouTube, kind of doing it on your own, your own kind of web series. Technology is much easier and much cheaper. There's a lot more avenues to go in, a lot more people giving money specifically to Asian Americans to boost that up. It's a lot of it. I think it stems from the bottom and it goes to the top, and it can start at the top and go from the bottom. I think we need to stop being pigeonholed in the sense of only being able to play doctors or students or scientists, and we need to be able to be accepted and play all kinds of types of people, because we exist as all kinds and types of people. I also think that I totally lost my train of thought. I was going on and on.
I can jump in until you get it back, if that's okay.
Yeah, go for it. But that's kind of where I'm at. It's like, it needs to kind of, which is kind of, and you can get to wherever you're going in a second, but it's kind of happening where it needs to be coming at all angles. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there needs to be Asian writers being recognized for their stories. There needs to be Asian comedians being hired for being funny and not because they're Asian. There needs to be You know, Asian American film festivals that are getting bigger and better and getting sponsors and money poured into them. Like, it has to actually be happening everywhere simultaneously in order for it to become not a problem anymore. And I think that is finally happening, but you know, it's almost 2020, so yeah, that's took a while.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I also feel like when people of color cry for more diversity on screen and people that are fielding these criticisms and doing the casting and doing the hiring are saying, "Yes, like we are trying to diversify." I think that we are having two different conversations on what diversity is. Because as a person of
Yeah.
no, seriously, because most importantly, the people that are doing these castings at an NBC, an ABC, a CBS, more than likely are white. So they are the
Huge.
gatekeepers. Yeah, like they are the gatekeepers. And until we can ascend to those ranks and want those jobs, we have to play, have to in quotes, play by a different set of rules that allows us to get the job, to then, once we have the job, make the changes that need to be made behind the screen. So I
Right,
think
I
that when,
completely agree.
yeah, so I think when African Americans, Asian Americans, Latino Americans are saying diversify, what we're looking for are nuanced shows of our perspective, of our perspectives, of the way that we live, of things that we find funny, so on and so forth. But I think that when these white male higher ups at these larger networks are saying, "We're trying to diversify. We can't find anyone." You probably can't find anyone because your idea of diversity is filtered through a white lens, i.e., you want assimilated diversity. You want people of color that have assimilated to some sort of whiteness and can tell jokes with your unique racial perspective in ways that white people either won't feel offended by. And so they, if they feel offended, the fear is that they're not going to tune back in to this particular episode, particular show, whatever. Or they have to be able to write black jokes and white jokes, Asian jokes and white jokes. I can't just hire talent that isn't assimilated to what white people think is funny. Oh, no. I've got to protect the wallet of the network. And I think that that's often, I feel like we're often talking past each other. Like we're defining diversity in two very different ways. And I think that's also why, in a case like SNL, they've historically had a really difficult time maintaining actors of color or diverse perspectives because largely SNL has always been the white boys club. And I think it's, I didn't realize that Lorne Michaels came on to SNL when he did. I guess I had never thought of SNL in terms of pre-Lorne Michaels and post-Lorne Michaels because Eddie Murphy, oh, he was telling all kind of incendiary race jokes, whether white people were down with that or not. And I want to say Damon Wayans was definitely doing something very, very similar. And it does feel like when Lorne Michaels came along, it almost got cleaned up. Like that sort of reckless racial musing
I
was
see.
out the door once Lorne Michaels came along. And I think that,
Interesting.
yeah, because when you think about the more popular African American talent that has stuck around, a Maya Rudolph, white people love Maya Rudolph. Tracy Morgan, white people love Tracy Morgan. Kenan Thompson, again. You know what I mean? Like, I think that the diversity doesn't really come through because we're defining and talking about diversity in two radically different ways. And until we can come to an agreement on that and define diversity, use the same definition across the board, which will never happen. But seriously, like, we're not really going to get anywhere because you're always
I
going to
agree.
have the racial bit that's like, no, tell the real joke. Like, get
Right,
dirty
right.
with it, get
Or,
grimy with it.
right. Or it's always like, you know, to this way, to that way. It's like, to this. It's just, and it's like, well, you know, I like, everyone has a different perspective. Everyone has a different story. And when you can see it from that point of view, things aren't as like, it doesn't have to be so cookie cutter perfect into a box. You know what I mean?
Couldn't agree
And
more.
I get that it comes from viewers and it comes from money and all this stuff. And So I know, and I know SNL has been struggling with viewers and, you know, staying relevant and funny. But also, like, being authentic to yourself, you know? It's like, it's like as an actor, why would I want to accept a role that is, that could possibly just be, is a role that's, you know, she has lines that says, that's bashing her own culture or talking about X, Y, and Z, whatever, like, rings truthful to you, you know, whatever is in alignment to you. And so I think it is on both ends. I think it's looking at the source, you know? I think you touched up on a great point where it's like, okay, let's see what this company is really about. Who are the board members? Who's the CEO? Who's the, you know, who is in charge of certain things? Who's in charge of casting? And who are all the other assistants? Like, what do they really stand for? Because if they really stand for diversity, then their company will be diverse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they will celebrate that and actually make that a criteria in the hiring process. So, yeah, I think that's a great point that before the latter that I spoke about will always be there. Right. They'll always be the oh, man, my story didn't get picked. Oh, no one's interested in my story or oh, it's because I'm whatever. But that end is something that has to extremely. Like, there needs to be a radical change and, like, a demand for it.
Yeah, I also do love that SNL backed Bowen Yang and got rid of the racist, homophobic, just all-around hateful other comedian that they casted and then promptly fired. Like, I like that SNL is essentially championing and standing behind Bowen Yang. I hope they continue
to
do
that. Yeah, but, okay, also, too... I was like, if they don't, they got some issues. Like, I think everyone was ready to hear that that was something that was already happening. And, I mean, I think it was a great, like, people celebrated it. But I obviously, they knew that they had to do it. Like, there was no way, you know, like, not at this time in this hour. Maybe a decade ago, they would have gotten away with it if they kept him. I don't know. But, yeah, I would have been really surprised, even more surprised than I already was if they decided to keep him.
Yeah, I guess when I say championing Yang, I guess really more what I meant was I really hope that with this new season of SNL, which is obviously going to be very, very hot because it seems like presidential election, like SNL's ratings spike around the presidential elections, which is why I think this is a great time for Yang to be... cast on the
president?
Show.
I'm just kidding.
Exactly.
Yes.
Both.
I had to. But can you imagining having an Asian American president?
I could not. Having
you
a black
not.
Female president, I've never imagined it. So I don't know. Like,
maybe you should.
It is possible, but it's one of those things where it's like I'm still trying to envision a black female president. Like, I'm still sort of there where it's like, okay, we had one black male. Let's keep going with this momentum. And I think just looking at numbers and seeing how well Elizabeth Warren is doing, I think my answer to I cannot was more like, at this moment, I can't. Elizabeth Warren is polling so well that, like, she could take it. Harris is also doing really well, too. So I think I'm also stuck in, like, oh, my God, could we have a female president? Could we have a president that possibly looks like me? I'm still trying to wrap my head around that one.
Yeah, it's really, really big. And I think hopefully, who knows? I don't want to get into it because it's going to happen regardless. Whoever, someone's got to win, right?
Totally. Well, then let's not get into it. Let's let's make sure that SNL champions Yang. And to do that, in my definition, that doesn't just mean hyping up his name in the opening credits. That means giving him a very good amount of screen time. Not just giving him stereotypes and tropes to play and dismantle and comment on, but give him the good, meaty skits and good, meaty characters that he can really dive into. As I said earlier on the show, give him enough space to succeed and fail. But dear God, don't place all expectations on an Asian American sketch comedy actor on SNL on his shoulders. It's just a ton of pressure. And if he has a misstep, don't hold that against him. To me, that's how you champion a performer like Yang, who literally just stepped, like, leveled up career-wise. And
I know,
has,
right?
Yeah.
Oh.
And has stepped onto a huge world stage.
He's also in Awkwafina's Comedy Central show that's going to premiere in January 2020 called Nora from the Bronx, if I'm not... Nora from Queens.
Oh!
Yeah, so that's been... It's an all-Asian American cast, if I'm not mistaken, or at least headed by an all-Asian American cast. It's... surrounds Awkwafina. BD Wong plays her father. Bowen Yang's in it. And yeah, it premieres on Comedy Central January 2020. And so it'll be really awesome to kind of have that along with SNL and have Awkwafina kind of just keep rising and just really shining. So it'll probably be a dope ass funny show. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, I totally did not know that he was on that. So thank you so much for bringing that to my attention.
He's probably a funny gay guy on the show.
Dude, 2020 is looking like it's going to be a great year for Andrew Yang. For Andrew Yang and for Bowen
and
Yang.
And Bowen Yang.
Yes. Yang Gang in full effect in 2020.
Yeah. I mean, this is a huge win for Asian males in general, you know, because generally they're overlooked. They're not considered sexy or powerful in the way that doesn't involve any kind of martial arts or smartness. You know, like just for them to be them and just to be awesome and have people praise them for just being who they are. And that goes across the board for anyone. But I definitely think that Asian males, especially in medias or in general, have, you know, gotten the latter bit of end of it amongst males in general. I'm thrilled to have. He's probably going to play Andrew Yang on the SNL.
I was literally going to say, I hope Andrew Yang keeps going, because the more that Andrew Yang keeps going in the elections, the more Bowen Yang will
play.
Isn't
it funny?
Yeah. It's either that or like Kim Jong-un does something really fucking retarded and like, I shouldn't say that word. Does something really stupid, and that's also who Yang will play. But I want Andrew Yang to keep going, because I want Bowen Yang to have lots of material and skits and comedy to rip his teeth into in this upcoming season of SNL.
Yeah, there's always, I mean, you can always say something about politicians. So yeah, I'm sure he's already got all kinds of skits up in his head, in that awesome brain of his about Andrew Yang.
I hope so.
Oh,
well,
man.
Congratulations to Bowen Yang. Like,
yeah,
this is huge. And, you know, maybe in the press, the drama that has surrounded the new casting of SNL, maybe, you know, Bowen's name has gotten filtered out, but not on this show, not on this podcast. We stand with Bowen Yang and we're celebrating you, and we're so excited for you to be on SNL.
We sure are. I'm super, super stoked to watch the premiere, and I wish him all the best, and I will be cheering for him.
And just a word to the wise guys, if you want to be on SNL in your life, don't be racist, don't be a homophobe, don't be a misogynist. No, real talk.
Seriously.
Like, don't be those things.
But also, don't be those things and then say that it's comedy. Just so you know.
Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, just, I had to kind of like stick my foot in. Like, just don't like.
Oh, no. 100%. Yeah. Oh, you're a comedian? Are you sure you're not just a racist who happens to do comedy? It's what it feels like to me, buddy boy.
Oh, gosh. All right. Well, there's plenty of people already talking about that. But we had to, you know, give our 2 cents. And we hope you enjoyed this episode. And we'll catch you next time.
Yeah, Yang Gang! Woo-woo!
Yang Gang!
Bye, guys!
Bye.
This episode was produced by Christian Humes over at Zeitgeist. We are the Black and Yellow Podcast. We are on the gram, and you can find us on the gram at Black and Yellow Podcast.
I'm Jacqueline Chung-Young on Instagram.
And I am Alana Webster, but my handle is at Renegade of Fun.
You can also find us on Apple Podcast and Spotify at Black and Yellow podcast. The podcast is important.
It is important.
And you can rate, review, please subscribe if you like. We'd love to hear your thoughts, any comments, any concerns, any questions. Reach out to us. Let us know what you're thinking. We'd love to hear from you guys.
Definitely. One love. Stay woke. And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.